Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Gittin is Pei Vav. We thank the Lipman Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lezechen Nishmas Libba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are in the middle of Pei Hei Amud Beis at the two dots. We're starting today with Rav Yehuda Omer. Dan Dehavi Leichai Minai, Sefer Terichim V'Yigar Shavukin. You remember the mission we did yesterday on Pehei Amad Alf, the bottom of the mission, Gufo Shel Get. We're talking about the essential nature of the get. What is the key critical line of the get that needs to be written there? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The first opinion quoted in the Mishnah on the bottom of Pehei Amad Alf is Gufo Shel Get Harei Mitaras Chol Adam. So according to the Tanakhama, a simple sentence with the idea that she now is permitted to marry whomever she wants. That is Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. Now we're turning the daf and we're on the top of Pehei Amud Beis. Rav Yehuda Omer. Now Rav Yehuda over here is either it's an addition or it's in substitution. But either way, Rav Yehuda wants more clarity. That's the basic idea. He wants more clarity and in a language that we all understand. Now I say that knowing that I'm about to read Aramaic and realizing that to us Aramaic is not our first language. It might not even be our second language. But okay, Bizman HaMishnah, they're all speaking Aramaic, and so Rav Yehuda says, basically, I want more clarity. And by more clarity, so he says, and I'm just rereading the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer V'dan Dehavi Lecha Minai Sefer Terichon. And this, Dan meaning this, we're going to talk more about that word later this morning. And this, Dehavi Lecha Minai, this is going to come from me, Sefer Terichon. This will be the instrument in which you're going to be divorced. This is going to be that which separates us, V'Ger Shavukin, and you're going to be released, V'Get Peturin, and you're going to be released. And there are three words, and they're basically all synonymous for the idea that you are now excused. You and I no longer have any connection. We're not married anymore. And you can marry whomever you want. That is the nusach get, not just the nusach get, but the ikar nusach get, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Mishnah went on to contrast the way that a get is written versus the way a get shichur is written. And we're going to come back to that a little bit later on this morning. In the meantime, however, what exactly is the machlok between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? So I said it kipshuto. The Gemara is going to say it a little fancier. The Gemara is going to speak it out. We're right in the middle of Pehei Amud Beis. But my kamefil gira, Rabban Savri Yadayin Shem Ochichos Having Yadayin. Ve'afagav Dlo Kasov La V'dam V'dan. Mucha Milsa Dabahai Gita Kamigamishla. So the Gemara explains very simply the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is that the Tanakhama subscribes to the viewpoint of Yadayim She'ein Mochichos. This takes us back to Nedarim. Remember, back in the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, we talked about a Yad. A Yad literally a handle in which I'm going to hold on to a neder. A neder is a constructed sentence of, this should be usher to me. But what if I don't make a full sentence? What if I make only a partial sentence? I just simply say the word, right, konam, or konach, or whatever, all the languages that are used in a darim, but I don't make a full sentence. And it's a little bit ambiguous. This is what's referred to as yadaim she'ein mochichos. It's a yad, but it's a little bit ambiguous. So it's a machlokus over there in the Gemara Nedarim, whether or not such a neder would be an effective neder. Here the Gemara says, it's essentially the same machlokus. Tanakhama says, harei mitaras chol adam, that's it, that's all you need to say. That's the essential get. And from there, you'll deduce that this is the instrument of divorce, and you're now free to marry whomever you want, and okay, but you don't have to spell everything out. That's she just Tanakhama. And Rav Yehuda says, yadaim she'ein mochichos. And Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says, no. If there's any ambiguity in him whatsoever, he says, that's not a yad, and therefore it's not going to be acceptable. And you write vidan, and the key word over here is vidan. This is the instrument, meaning, I'm divorcing you. What exactly is creating the severance? The get. The get itself is creating the severance. And if you don't write the words vidan, so you'll think that the divorce is a verbal divorce. Meaning when he says to you, we're getting a divorce, she's thinking, okay, we're getting a divorce because he said so. What's this document? Well, it must be some sort of proof. But the divorce really is contingent on his words. That's what she's going to be thinking. That's why Rav Yehuda is insistent on writing vidan. And this, meaning it's this document that's actually creating the divorce. Gemara says that's
you also say you write down at muteres v'cholodo.
Okay.
It's not verbal.
No, I understand you're going to write it down, but you're going to write it down and what's creating the divorce? So you and I know, meaning we know what's creating the divorce, but it's not actually saying this document's creating the divorce. It just simply says you're free to marry whomever you want. So according to Rav Yehuda, you have to say it's the document that's creating the divorce. Amar Rabbi Haiman deKasav Gitol Olichtov. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we begin, okay. Let's pause here for just a moment. So, machlokas between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara says that it really, this machlokas straddles on the basic idea of are we comfortable with any type of ambiguity in language. Tanakam says, yeah, you know, a little ambiguity is fine, and Rav Yehuda says, no ambiguity, and therefore the get has to be as clear as possible that not only is she getting a divorce, but it's the document itself which is the vehicle, the instrument in which she's getting a divorce. Okay, I mentioned yesterday, I'll just repeat quickly today, we're not going to see the Nusach HaGet through the entire Masechta. We're going to go through 91 blot of the Masechta. We're finishing up on Sundays. Yeah, Sunday? Shabbos? Huh? Shabbos, okay. Kedushin starting on Sunday. I trust you. So we're going to go 90 blot, excuse me. We're going to see 90 blot of the Masechta, and we're not going to see the Nusach HaGet. And like I mentioned yesterday, the reason's very simple. It's known. Everyone knows the Nusach HaGet. I'm going to say everybody. Obviously, you know, if we're lucky, we never know from it. But still, it's a known document. Much like I mentioned yesterday, Shmon Esrei. It's known. The Nusach HaShmon Esrei is not in the Gemara. It's known. People know it. So but nevertheless, however, we're going to pick apart at some of the words in the Nusach HaGet. So what I'm going to do right now is we're going to go through a Rashi together. Rashi on the side of the Gemara right here is going to give us the Nusach HaGet. Just an interesting point. The Nusach HaGet that Rashi has over here is not exactly the same Nusach HaGet that is Kimin HaGenu. It's not exactly like our Minog. There are subtle variant differences between Rashi's Nusach HaGet and our Nusach HaGet. Okay, but the idea is basically the same idea. So everyone turn with me to Rashi, and we're going to now see inside the Tofes HaGet. Right, this is the nondescript, generic text of every single get. We need to be comfortable with it because the Gemara is going to pick apart at it. So, before we pick apart at it, let's just see it inside. So, I'm reading now in Rashi. Zet Tofes HaGet. Rashi's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Comes immediately after the heading of Demashma Limchach. Zet Tofes HaGet. And this is the actual get itself. Patricia Seichulaychi. Aunt Plonis by Plonis. So I am excusing you, so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so, to have this intimacy, mikadama dana, that you were my wife up until this point in time. Ukedo padrita, and you're going to be excused. Veshavikta v'tarichat. Again, three synonymous terms, just like we saw in the Mishnah, which basically are all synonymous with the idea that you're going to be excused. Yisaychi di dahavin rasha v'shalta'a b'navshaychu. You will have total dominion over yourself. L'mehach lihin saba, where you can now be married l'choman di'asvin to anyone you want to. V'inish lo yamchi b'yadaychu, and nobody can protest the idea that you can marry whomever you want. Min yumadanan, from today, ula alam. And going on forever. Meaning from this day forward, you're free to marry whomever you want. Vidan di yahav lechem inai get peturin. And this should be, right, again, you see the word vidan. And this should be, from me, a get peturin, sefer terichin, ger shavukin. Again, three terms, is all synonymous with the idea that this document is the one that's going to excuse you. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Okay. And by the way, that has to be stretched out to 12 lines. But okay. In other words, the minhag is, we discussed this day one of the Masechta. Right? Tosfos discussed it. That the minhag Yisrael is to write the get in 12 lines. The word get itself is numerically 12. So the minhag Yisrael is to make the get 12 lines.
It has to be on the klav.
We learned earlier in the Masechta it could be on anything. Our minhag is to write on a cloth.
Right.
But no, it doesn't have to be on a cloth. It could be on anything.
Right,
correct. Okay. Anyway, that's the Nusach HaGet. Let us now go to the Gemara. Abai is going to make sure that when we write our gittin, so we have to be careful about certain things. And Abai is going to go through all the different nuances in terms of what we need to be careful about. On Peheim at Beis, about two-thirds of the way down, the beginning of the line. Amar Abaye. Haiman de kasav gita lo lichtov vidin. So when you are writing get, make sure that when you don't say the word, when you're writing the word vidan, so don't insert a yud and don't write vidin. The mashma vidin, because if you wrote the word vidin, you would sound like The law is they have to divorce you, right? That's for whatever reason the law of the land is they have to divorce you. You don't want her to think that. You need her to think that vidan. It's this document that's allowing you to get married. El vidan. Okay, so that is point number one. Number two, la lichtav igeres demashma igras el igeres. When you write the word igeres, you have to write it without a yud. Igeres means a letter, meaning this letter. You write it with a yud. Igras is a roof. And I don't know how that would make sense in a sentence, but again, just got to be careful. Number three, v'lo lichtav lemehach, limhach. When you write the word, if you look, take a look back at Rashi, right? I'm looking for it in Rashi. Right, limhach is the word we have in So the Gemara is now telling us, don't add the yud between the lam and the mem. So don't below lichtov limhach. The mashma li mehach, because if you write the word limhach, it gives the indication that it's from me to you. So the you have to make sure to write it without a yud. So so below lichtov limchach. And make sure also that the hay doesn't look like a ches. Because if the hay were to look like a ches, the mashma kichucha makes it sound like kichucha. If you remember, the Gemara many times says the word chucha v'tlula, it's a joke. Right? It's all just a joke. It's a terrible idea of a joke. The asvitzain tlasa tlasa yudin. These words have to be written not with two but three yudin. Both of these words. The mashma tehaven v'titziafen. Because you want to give the indication that she can choose whomever she wants to marry. Valurcha levav did. I'm sorry. Okay, right. Valurcha levav did tarichun. And make sure that when you write the vav of tarichun, so you take the vav and you make sure that it's long. So it does not look like a yud. And what if it were to look like a yud? So then the word would be tarichin. And what that would indicate is that it's a generic divorce, but not a specific divorce. Ulevav de shivukin de mashma terichin v'shivikin. And the same thing is true with shivukin. You don't want to write shivukin with the vav looking like a yud, because again it's shivikin, and again that would give the indication that not this divorce, but divorce in general. And again, you want to be very specific. Veluchevav de kado de mashma ukedi. You want to make sure that the word ukedo, the vav there, is long. Because if it's not, it'll look like a yud. And if it looks like a yud, it's kedi. And kedi, what does kedi mean? We've seen that a number of times throughout the Gemara, right? It's sometimes the Brice is quoted in the name of kedi. What does the word kedi mean? So some people say that it's the name of a Tana. But the general pshat that's given is nobody said it. So if you write the word kedi, you're giving the indication that this is nothing. V'lo lichtov li insava demashma. Lo yitzava. Also, when you say you're going to get married, don't write lamed aleph yud, because it could be understood as a contraction of lo yitzava. You're not allowed to get married. Ela lehit nasba. So you have to write it with a hey, so there's no confusion whatsoever. Okay. Various corrections of Abaye in terms of the text of the get. Not corrections, but things to be careful about when writing a get. Unclear. Unclear. Hard to imagine. Meaning these are things that are just to create more clarity. So if it's just there to create more clarity, right, it's not, right, it's not, we're not going to create a major, you know, all right, a major misunderstanding if you don't do it. Just again, things to be careful about. Ibailahu bi'inan vidan, ola bi'inan vidan. Question. Do I need the vidan, or is it not necessary? Tashma ditkin rava bikitech ech panai ba panai pata v'tarich yas panasa into two dehava into te min kadam dana miyuma danan ul alam. So when Rava writes a get, so the Gemara gives us just a small snippet of the nusach of the get that Rava wrote, and he instituted the sofrim that when they write the get, so this is a nusach. You'll notice that where does it start? Ech panaya. He doesn't start off with the words vidan. Ve'ilu vidan lo kamar. So the Gemara says, olatam ech chula mikamar, ela bi'inan hachana mi'bi'inan. The Gemara says, that's not fair. You didn't give me the entire nusach I get according to Rava. You gave me a little snippet. So it could very well be that part, the section that you just quoted, had it. The get had it, but the part that you quoted was just simply not part of the, didn't include the word vidan. So the Gemara says, you really don't have much of a proof. Okay, miyuma danan. Now, in the Nusach HaGet that we went through in the beginning of the section, in when we read the Rashi, it says, and from this day going forward, you can marry whomever you want. Okay, do you have to write in this day? So, I mean, you have to write it, because that's the Nusach HaGet. Let me articulate the question a little bit better. Why do you need to write it? So the Gemara says, "Miyuma danan lafuka min derav Yosi da amar zman shoshar mochich alav." So the because what we want to do is we want to exclude ourselves from the position of Rav Yosi. You remember, Rav Yosi a number of times in Masechta said that the reason why you're going to be writing the date on a document, in addition to the fact that that's a takana derabanan that we mentioned back on Daf Yud Zayin in our Masechta, but one of the benefits of writing the date on the document is that once you write the date on the document is effective from the time of the date. And even if you don't say mehayom, right, nevertheless, it's still going to go back to the date because zman shoshtar mochir chalav. That's the opinion of Rav Yosi. When we write our gittin, we want to write out, even though there's a date in the document, miyuma danan, from today, going forward, you can marry whomever you want. Because we don't want to rely on the opinion of Rav Yosi. Now, as Rashi points out, it's interesting, Rashi points out, you know, we do paskin like Rav Yosi. So it's not like we can't rely on the opinion of Rav Yosi, because we do paskin like him. But in the area of get, we want to be even more careful. Take a look at Rashi. Now, all the sofrim are going to be used to writing, and from this day going forward, the Af Al Gav and Rashi writes the Kaimalan Rav Yosi. We do paskin like Rav Yosi, so what's the big deal? You don't have to write, and from this day going forward, because we pass like Rav Yosi. Lafuki nafsham mi plukta. But it says, Rashi, what we don't want to do is we don't want to get involved in machlokas. If we can write a get and be free and clear from any debate, even though we have a stake in whose side we take la halacha, but if we can remove ourselves from debate, Rashi says that's better. She yasa adavar behetar v'lo yasa shem psul amishbachas Yisrael. And when we're writing a get, remember the consequences are she's now going to get remarried and she's going to have children. And if the get is not good, the child that's going to come from the next marriage is going to be a mamzerim. And so the need to be unbelievably careful in terms of the writing of the get, and even though we do possibly like Rav Yosi, and even though it's manas shoshar mochich alav, but still, all you need to do is just write in the get from this day going forward, and we don't even have to rely on the opinion of Rav Yosi. Okay. La'olam. And also, what do we say in the Nusach HaGet? That you, from this point going forward, you can marry whomever you want forever. Meaning the get is effective immediately, and its effects will continue until next time you get married, forever. Okay, let's say it simply. Top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph Alafu Gimme Dabai Mine Rava Me Rav Nachman. The Amar Hayom I Atishti Ulamachar Atishti. Right, just a couple of days ago, we entertained the following question. What if the man writes to get to his wife and he says, today I'm going to divorce you, and he writes totally, meaning no strings attached, but the day after that, their marriage is going to resume. Okay, husband's a little bit out of his mind, but basically looking for like a little break from this thing called marriage. So what do we say, if you remember a couple days ago? Well, how did the Gemara conclude on that question? The Gemara asked the question according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? The Gemara entertained both sides of that, and the conclusion of the Gemara was, it's a get. And it'll sever between the two. And again, we're going to invoke the same idea over here. Even though we have a halacha psuka that we gave earlier, but the Gemara over here says, but don't even get involved in the question. When you write the get, make sure to write the word la'olam, so that unequivocally, unambiguously, the get means, from this day going forward, indefinitely, we are divorced. We're no longer married. Okay. Gufo shall get shichur. Okay, just a little bit more before we start the next sugya. The Mishnah made a contrast between a get isha and a get shechur. And again, the most notable difference between the two is that when it comes to the woman, there's no ownership of the woman. It's a marriage. He's a person, she's a person. And so therefore, the divorce just is creating separation between two entities. When it comes to a get shechur, so there actually is ownership of the Eved Kanani, of the Shefra Kananis. And so therefore, a get shechur has to acknowledge the fact that now that person owns themselves. That's the basic difference between get Isha versus Get Shechra. Kufa Shechra Shechra Hariat Batchor and Hariat Latzmech. And once again, the Mishnah, very succinctly, without giving us the formulated details of how a Get Shechra is written, the Mishnah just simply says the Iker content of a Get Shechra is you are free, or you now have ownership over yourself. Okay. Ikin Rabbi Yehuda Bishtar is Zavini de Avde. Whenever you would sell an Eved Kenani from one person to another, so this is not freedom, this is not emancipation, this is a transaction. A sale of an Eved Kenani from one person to another person, how exactly is the text written? So Rav Yehuda says, this is how you write it. And again, just a simple observation, we've made this observation already numerous times before. So when did Eved Kenani, Shivcha Kenani's come to a conclusion in terms of Minhag Yisrael? I can't say. But I certainly can say that it extended through the period of the Amoraim. Clearly, as the Amoraim over here are detailing exactly what the Nusach of the Get Shechra is. So Itkin Rav Yehuda Bishar Zvina Davdi Avda Danan. So here it is, the text. This slave, Mutztak La'avdo. Mutztak La'avdo, Rashi explains, is absolutely owned by the owner. Meaning that this person that we're selling is still under ownership. Rashi, Mutztak La'avdo, Dino Pasuk La'avdos, Shein Shum Ir'ur B'Mechira. So no one's going to ever protest the sale. What did he sell? He didn't sell a slave. He sold a free man. So in order to be no contestation, so you have to write this in the nusach of the get. In the nusach of the shtar mechira. Upatir va'atir min charure umin alule umin arure maka umakasa, and he. Rashi, Parashu Muflag Mikol Cheros Kamo Hanifta Me Rabo. He is separated from any emancipation, meaning he's not free. Again, the idea being articulated, I have the right to sell him because I have ownership over him. And also, there are no liens on him. Next Rashi, the Atir Kamo Itra Shtar Chaluka Rak Habamos Losaro Mitargim Lo Itra. There is no. This is going back to the previous clause, right? He is free and clear from any emancipation. And then next Rashi, umin aruri malko makasa ume ira hamalch la makas shelo chata lios muchtav la malchus leharek she ima ya muchtav la malchus makal bata keda amar bamas ya basocher. Also, he is not been convicted by the king or by the queen to be sentenced to death. You cannot sell an Eved Kenani if such an Eved Kenani is sentenced to die by the king. And Urishum de'inish lo is alayhu. And also he has no badge by any other person. I am the rightful owner of him, and he does not wearing the badge of anybody else, meaning he's mine to sell, not somebody else's. And also, he doesn't have any physical blemishes. The umin shchin denafik ad titzar chadas va'atik. Okay, he has no physical blemishes on him, neither new or neither old. Meaning, again, I don't want to objectify, but we are talking about the selling of an Eved Kenani. So just, you know, like when you're selling a used car, so basically you are writing that, to my knowledge, no problems whatsoever. No new issues, no old issues, car's been running fine. So my istav say, now, if the slave does end up getting boils, the Gemara wants to know what the remedy is. This harkens back to the beginning of the seventh parak, where the Gemara spent nearly three blot of Gemara giving us tried and tested remedies of the time of the Gemara. What do you do for shchin? So mayas vase, amrabaye, gingera, umartecha, v'kavraisa, a combination of ginger, sulfur, ginger, silver, and sulfur, v'chala dechamra, and wine vinegar, umashcha dezesa, and olive oil, v'natfik chivra, v'shaifale begatfa deivza, take the wing of a goose and make an application using the wing of a goose. Okay, so Gemara just gives us a small remedy for this morning in terms of how to deal with shchin.
What helps a bad thing or the goose?
You can ask. It's not going to.
Why a goose? The other one I can understand.
I understand. Let's go. We start with the next Mishnah, the Shlosha Gittim Psulim. This Mishnah should sound familiar. The familiarity of this Mishnah takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Sechta. We already saw this Mishnah going back as far as Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Second day of Gittin, we saw this Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to articulate three different types of Gittin where the get is Pasul Midrabanan. The rabbis had issues with this get. But it's the, as the Gemara is going to articulate it on the Amud Beis, it's a the Chachamim's disapproval of this get is not a fundamental disapproval, and so therefore it is only a psul midrabanan. And as we're going to see, if she marries again and they have children, the children are not going to be mamzerim, meaning that fundamentally the get's a good get. It just is that it didn't meet full rabbinic approval. So if she receives such a get, she shouldn't marry. But if she does and they have children, the children are not going to be a mamzer. Shlosha gittin psulim, and the three types of get that are possible are v'im nisas avlad kasher. And again, as I just pointed out, because I knew the Mishnah coming up, is that if she remarries based on this get and she has children, the children are not mamzerim. So what are they? Case number one: ksav b'ksav yado ve'in alav edim, handwritten get. The husband writes the get himself. There were no witnesses who signed on the get. Case number two: yesh alav edim ve'in bo zman. Witnesses signed on the get, but no zman, no date on the document. Case number three: yesh bo zman ve'in bo ela ed echad. The document was dated and was signed by only one witness. In all three of these cases, Hare Elu Shosha Gittim Psulim V'in Mises Avlad Kasher, the Mishnah repeats itself that these are Gittin which are Psulim. Psulim again here means Midrabanan. But if she remarries based on this get and she has children, the children are in fact not going to be Mamzerim. Rabbi Eliezer Amei Alfa Pishen Alav Edim Elish Nasnu La Bifnei Edim Kasher. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that if there are no witnesses but it was given in front of witnesses, the get would be a get kasher. This is Rebbe Lazar Lishita. So Rebbe Lazar says throughout the entire Masechta, Ede Masira Karse, that what creates the effective value of a get is going to be the two witnesses who see the get being handed over from the husband to the wife. Just give me one second. The Govim and Echaz Meshubadim, and if such a document was written in monetary law, so this creates an encumbrance, a lien against properties, if the get was given over in front of two. Because again, this position of Rebbe Elazar, the Edim Asir Karte, is not just limited to a get Isha. It's applicable to all Gittin. So therefore, if let's say in English, a little clearer, to all documents, even monetary documents as well. And so therefore, if you have a loan document where it wasn't signed by witnesses, but it was given in front of two witnesses, that has the same, according to Rebbe Elazar, the same validity as a signed document. Signed meaning signed by two witnesses. And therefore, it creates an encumbrance against all the properties of the borrower, so that in the event of a default of the loan, so the lender can go after the property of the borrower. And according to Rebbe Elazar, the only reason why you have witnesses signing on the document is tikkun olam, as we explained back in the fourth parak, in the fifth parak, that it could be that we don't know who the Edim Asiri are, and so therefore, as a backup, we have now two witnesses who signed on the document in the event that we can't find the Edim Asiri. Okay.
Here can be talking about the Suba. Does that have to go another start? The whole Mishnah could be talking about the Shigen Gorbet in the Nosa Mishnah Buddha. Kasuba.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's what the. Okay. You have to come to a
that's true. That's true.
These are cases where the gate came from Asar or Israel, right?
No. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that. That's not the context of the Mishnah. Okay, a number of things to discuss in the Mishnah itself. Okay, we take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here in the first case of the Mishnah. Let's consider. The first case of the Mishnah, we're describing a man who's giving a get to his wife and has no witnesses signing on the document. And the Mishnah says that If the woman gets divorced with such a document, so the she shouldn't remarry again, but fundamentally the get works. Who is the author of that first case in the Mishnah? That's not an easy question to answer. Now, your first reaction would be, well, it must be Rebbe Elazar. Yeah, but you know what the problem with that is? Is that I ran through the whole Mishnah, and by design I went through the whole Mishnah. I wanted us to see the entire Mishnah, because I want us to see that it's the very end of the Mishnah where Rebbe Elazar's position is being introduced. So that means that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is not Rebbe Elazar. Okay? So then it's Rebbe Meir. Well, then if it's Rebbe Meir, well, that creates its own problem. Because according to Rebbe Meir, a de chasime karte. And Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that you need two people signing on the document in order to make the document an effective document. So I'm going to repeat the question. It's really difficult. Who is the author of the first of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah? So Rashi struggles. Let's see Rashi inside. Rashi on the Mishnah, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Vim Nesis Avlat Kasher. Rashi writes, Hai Tana Lav Karebi Meir Sfirle. Dharma Edechasi Mekarte. Del Rebbe Meir Havlat Mamzer. Look, if you ask Rebbe Meir, you have a get. No witness is signing on the document itself. Good or no good? Rebbe Meir will tell you, not only is it not good, it's nothing. She were to remarry, that's not a remarriage. She's still a married woman. The children are going to be a mamzerim. So Rashi starts off by saying that this can't be the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Now, the next lines of Rashi may or may not be part of Rashi, meaning the Bach over here writes that he believes that this was inserted by a later Talmud. You can make an argument, writes either Rashi or Talmud of Rashi, you can make an argument that maybe it is Rebbe Meir, because even though you don't have two witnesses signing on the document, but who was the author of the get? The husband. And the husband is the author of the get. That's tantamount, it's equivalent to two witnesses signing on the document. You could make that argument, says either Rashi or Talmud of Rashi.
He's been written, so how could he ever protest that he didn't write?
I mean, he could lie. Oh. Okay. V'lav k'rebi Elazar sfirle d'amrei d'mizir karti d'hapal Rebbe Elazar b'seifa. And so now what does that bring us to? Well, Rebbe Elazar. But it can't be Rebbe Elazar, because at the end of the Mishnah, then and only then, are we introduced to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Elakev v'ksav yaduhu v'ksav v'nasin karina bay. The afagav d'leke d'mizira kashir medaraisa. So Rashi says it must be another Tana. And Tosus over here. Actually, true. The matter is, it's Tosus earlier in the Masechta. But okay, the Tosus tells you go back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where he discusses this extensively. But Tosus back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis has a really difficult time imagining that after the entire Masechta and after having gone through Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Meir time and again, now according to Rashi, we're being introduced to a third opinion. Who's the third opinion? Anyway, so Tosus back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis discusses the authorship of this case in the Mishnah. Mihu, just finishing up the Rashi, Rabbanan Pasulinu Dilma Asir Lachshur Biksav Sofer. Look, what makes this get valid fundamentally is that the fact that the husband wrote it. Why were the Chachamim unhappy with it? Why did the Chachamim pasul such a get? Because the next time that the get is written, handwritten, so maybe it wasn't the husband's going to write it, maybe it's the sofer going to write it, and they're going to think to themselves, oh, you know, I was there where the get didn't have signatures and it was fine. It must be fine over here. And of course, the difference is that when it's fine, it's when the husband writes it. When it's not fine, without signatures, is when the sofer writes it. And people are not going to understand the difference. Hilkach lo tinaseh bin mitzvah of vlad kasher, v'davka ksav yado av ksav sofer, v'ein sham eid havlad mamzer. However, if the sofer writes it, yeah, okay, just a second. If the sofer writes it, and then then you don't have witnesses, so then that's not only pasul midrabanan, that's pasul min haTorah, and the children coming from the subsequent marriage are mamzerim.
When the husband writes it, does he sign at the bottom himself?
No.
So it's just recognizing his signature and the fact that he's writing.
It's not even a signature; it's just his handwriting.
Just his handwriting.
Yeah. In other words, the Torah says v'kasav la sefer krisos, and he was going to write a document. Meaning, and right now what we're learning together is that if the husband writes a document, good. That's a kiyum of the pasuk in the Torah, and that's all you need to do. And again, the Chachamim were super concerned about such a scenario, so they pasul such a get midrabanan. But fundamentally, it works. Now, why does it work? So again, our Mishnah could be going like Rav Meir, could be going like Rav Elazar. There are problems with each position. And then, what seems from Rashi is that our Mishnah represents a third opinion. Okay. One more Rashi to do on the Mishnah. The next Rashi is, I don't want to do this Rashi, but Rashi just harkens back to the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara over there tells us that the Chachamim instituted that we date our documents. The Gemara back there gave a couple of reasons why we date our documents. Okay, see the Gemara in Yud Zayin for more on that. Then the Mishnah gives the third case. What's the third case of the Mishnah? Third case of the Mishnah is they have one witness signing on the document. And again, the Mishnah's point is that it's fundamentally good, but again, midrabanan, don't use it. Okay, one witness signing on the document, and what? So you take a look at Rashi. Pligibag begemar ikalaman darmek sav yadokai afila hachashmin delachechilolo. Now, the Gemara itself is going to have a debate. You have a document with one witness signing on the bottom. Now, one is not good, meaning it's you need two. So, Rashi says that some are of the opinion that this third case in the Mishnah, still the husband was the one who wrote the get. Now, Rashi then is bothered by a very simple question. We already know in the first case that if the husband wrote the get himself, you can have zero people signing on the bottom. And that would be, again, fundamentally okay. Midrabanan, she shouldn't use it, but fundamentally okay. So if zero is signing on the document, then fundamentally it's okay. If one signed on the document, that for sure should be okay. I was thinking that Svara as well. It's interesting that you say that. I also shared that. Rashi says no. Rashi says that the reason why the Mishnah would then give us this third case is to teach us that even when you have one witness signing on the bottom, still lechatchila she should not remarry. That's the chiddush of the third case of the Mishnah. And the chiddush of the first case of the Mishnah is that if she does remarry, which she shouldn't, but if she does remarry, the subsequent children are not going to be mamzerim. Okay. So basically, it's like a range of... Agreed. But over here, the chiddush says Rashi is that she shouldn't even use it lechatchila. Okay. Now, Ika, just finishing up this Rashi, Ika lamanda amra ksav sofer kai. Now, some are of the opinion that over here, it's the sofer who wrote this get with only one witness signing on the bottom. V'afilu hachi avlad kasher. Now, we're going to make an argument that even though it's the sofer plus one aid, it's fundamentally a good get. How can that be? You don't have two witnesses? The answer is, you do have two witnesses, because we're going to count the sofer as a witness.
Why would there be any question if he's one of the witnesses?
Because he didn't sign.
No, but the sofer signed, there are two signatures. No.
It's one signature on the bottom, and we're counting the sofer writing it as another aid.
The sofer's handwriting.
Yes, correct. The sofer havalei, but makom aid sheni. And the sofer will be the substitute for the aid sheni, and that is the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara basically is going to wonder. We have now a Mishnah that's very clear, three and only three. Three types of gittin, which are min haTorah, good, but min derabanan, pasul. She shouldn't remarry based on these gittin, but if she does so, then the subsequent children are not mamzerim. This can't be the only three, because... thankfully, we have almost finished the entire Masechta. And we've seen numerous cases throughout the Masechta where she shouldn't use a get, but if she did. This is not the first time that we've seen gittin which are questionable. So what makes our Mishnah so limiting and so exclusive? That's essentially the Gemara's question. Vesulek vayka get yashan. So we go back to Daf Ayin Tesamid Beis and the case of get yashan, where after having written the get, they seclude themselves together. So lo teitze, hacha teitze. So the Gemara says, well, if you remarry based on a get yashan, if a woman remarries based on a get yashan, okay. So there, the marriage will be bidyeved, she won't have to get a divorce from her second husband. Here, on the other hand, if she remarries based on this get, the Chachamim are going to step in, the Chachamim are going to try to break up the marriage. Now, I know that sounds strange because we just learned in our Mishnah that the subsequent children are not going to be a mamzerim. But as the Gemara itself is going to point out in just a moment, that's not difficult because we could say both things. We could say she shouldn't have gotten remarried with this get, and the Chachamim are going to step in and try to break it up. But since fundamentally the get's a good get, the children are not mamzerim. But in the case of the get yashan, there the Chachamim are going to, their attitude is going to be, you shouldn't have done it, but now you're remarried. okay, we're not going to get involved.
Yeah, but people will see that's just a glee.
Fair point. Phil, it's a fair point. I hear you. I understand that. Now, the Gemara says, now, that which you just assumed is not according to everybody. Some are of the opinion that even in our Mishnah's case, of the three gittin of our Mishnah, she shouldn't remarry based on these gittin, but if she does, okay. The Chachamim are going to just basically, even at that early stage, wave the white flag and say, she shouldn't have done it, but okay, we're going to back off. So the Gemara says, but still we can make a distinction. In the case of the Get Yashan, so there, even lechatchila she can remarry. Here, in the case of our three examples in our Mishnah, lechatchila she should not marry using the Get.
A Get Yashan is a machlokes.
Yes, that's true.
There's no machlokes.
No, but the Get Yashan, it's a machlokes between Beisham and Beisilo.
Yeah.
So you can't Beisil b'makom Beis. I'm sorry, Beisham b'makom Beisil in a Mishnah. Okay. Next, va'ika get kareach. So the Gemara says, what about the case of get kareach? So where it's a fold to get that's special for the Kohanim. Where there, if you're missing a signature in one of the folds, it's no good. So the get kareach ha'asam avlad mamzer ha'cha avlad kasher. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by the get kareach, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Here, the child is not going to. The subsequent children are not mamzerim. Hanich l'Rebbe Meir. Yes, the gate kareach case, the child is a mamzer, but that's only if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Reb Meir. But if you don't subscribe to the viewpoint of Reb Meir, if you hold like the chachamim, the child is not a mamzer. So hasam teitze, hachalo teitze. And again, the Gemara says, well, maybe the difference is, what if she does remarry on the basis of such a get? Our Mishnah is teaching us, and our exclusive three cases are all resulting in the conclusion of teitze. Well, she needs to get a divorce. So the Gemara says, well, again, that's also subject to a debate. So ben mekushalo kamari. The Gemara says, okay, the reason why the get kareach didn't make it in our Mishnah is because it's so unusual. The folded get of the get mekushar is just simply its own category. Its own it doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about standardized getin. So the Gemara says, what about the case where you don't put in the current monarchy and you don't date it based on the current monarchy? And the Gemara earlier said, we also saw this just a short couple of days ago, that if you don't date it to the current monarchy, you are upsetting Shalom Malchus. It's politically incorrect. I'm using the term correctly now. it's politically incorrect, and therefore it's the gets no good. So the Gemara says, why didn't that make it into our Mishnah? Hasam teitze, hachalo teitze. The Gemara says, well, again, there if you are politically incorrect, so the woman can't remarry, and if she does, we're gonna make her separate from her second husband. Here, however, lo teitze. And again, the Gemara says, hanich laman damar hachalo teitze, elaman damar teitze maikel amema. Again, not everyone agrees to what the result is of getting a divorce with any of the three examples of our Mishnah. So the Mukim La, skip the parentheses. Mukim La Karet Meir, Vahasam Havlad Mamzer. Hacha Havlad Kasher. So the Gemara says, well, in the case of the Shalomachos, of being politically incorrect, so there we could say that the Mishnah is going like Reb Meir. Once you say that the Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, so then the resulting child is going to be a Mamzer, because again, Reb Meir's rule is any deviation from the way the Chachamim instructed us to write a get is going to result in a get puzzle. Not beyond puzzle. Right, no good. Get batel, and the children and her subsequent children from the next marriage are going to be mamzer. Okay. Minyana deresha lemute mai, or minyana de seifa lemute mai. The Mishnah made it very clear, three and only three. It said at the front end of the Mishnah, it said at the back end of the Mishnah. Why the repetition? So minyana deresh lamute hanidamaran. So the Gemara says, well, look, on the front end it said three because we just went through about five different scenarios that didn't make it into our Mishnah. So that's why minyana deresha. So minyana de seifa lamute mai, and on the back end of the Mishnah, again the Mishnah repeats three and only three. Haditanya maybe get me medinas yam nasnala velo amar befanechtam fanechtam yotzi vahavlad mamzer divar abmer vechachamem omrim ein avlad mamzer ketsa yase yelanu haymena viyachsev yinan lo bifnei shnayim viyomer bifanechtam. In terms of the three mentioned at the back end, what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? The case of b'fanei nechtam, where in that case, when a get is delivered from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so the shliach who's delivering the get has to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And failure to do so, according to Rav Meir, like he says time and again, the get's not a get, the subsequent children are mamzer. According to the chachamim, take it back from her, hand it back to her again, and say the formula of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Our Mishnah does not want to include that in the list of the three, and that's why the Mishnah repeats three and only three. Kasav b'ksav yado v'ein alav edim amarav ksav yado shaninu. Rav says it was written by the husband. Which of the three cases was written by the husband? Ahaya. Ilem ha'resha pshita ksav yado katani. Is Rav commenting on the first case of the Mishnah? I don't need Rav. The Mishnah says b'feirish. The husband wrote it. Ve'ela mitziyasa ha'resha yesha lav edim. Can't be on the middle case, because the middle case you have two witnesses. If you have two witnesses signing, I don't need the husband to write the get. So ela seifa yesha, I'm sorry. Must be that Rav is commenting on the last case of the Mishnah, where you have one witness signing on the document. It's one witness plus the husband writing the document. Now, again, when we saw the Mishnah, so I went through the Rashi and the Mishnah, where Rashi told us this machlokus was going to happen. Here's the machlokus, where in the third case of the Mishnah, where you have a get written with one witness signing, who is the author of the get? So Rav is of the opinion the husband's the author of the get. V'davka ksav yado, we're now on the top of Peivav Amud Beis. V'davka ksav yado v'eid. Ava ksav sofer v'eid lo. But if it's ksav sofer together with a witness, that's not going to be good. Ushmul amar filo ksav sofer v'eid. And Shmuel's of the opinion, no, that even if it's ksav sofer and a witness, sha'arei shaninu, ksav sofer v'eid kosher. V'rav midami. Now, as far as Rav is concerned, don't compare the cases. Hasam tinas lechatchila, over there you're allowed to get married lechatchila hacha di'evit, but over here in our Mishnah only b'di'evit she can remarry based on this get. Ushmul akasha habis sifra demuvak has sifra delo muvak. Shmuel is going to make a very simple distinction between a sofer who is a muvak versus a sofer who is not a muvak. V'chein amar Rav Yochanan amar le Rebbe Lazar hariyesha lav edim amar le hariyesha lav edim. Sometimes Rav's of the opinion that if she were to remarry based on the get, it would be the chachamim would force her to divorce. Sometimes Rav would say the chachamim did not force the divorce. Haketze yesh labanim lo teitze, ain labanim teitze. And the difference is, and Phil, this addresses your issue from earlier. In the event that she gets remarried on the basis of this get, where it was only one signature on the bottom of the get, sometimes Rav says that's terrible, the Chachamim are going to intervene and break up the second marriage. Sometimes the Chachamim are going to turn away and allow the second marriage. And the Gemara says, and in terms of resolving, when Rav would say which, answer says the Gemara, children. If she does not have children from her second marriage as of yet, the Chachamim are going to intervene. If she has now children, the Chachamim for whatever reason didn't get to her, and she had now children from the second marriage, since the get is fundamentally a good get, so the Chachamim are not going to intervene. Okay, we'll stop over here. Mason Marzuch will pick it up right from here. Okay.